Hi, Tally. Morning, everybody. How are you doing? Okay. Oh, Beth, can you just come down just a smidge, please? That would be good. Say hello to the person next to you. Welcome to church, if you haven't done that already.
Hello.
Fantastic.
Check
how they're doing. Right. This is good. We're starting a new series today, which I'm excited about. Does anyone else repack the dishwasher?
Repack it.
Yeah, Tony does. Good. So it's not just me. Yeah, a few others. Excellent. That's wonderful. You know when... I'm not talking about the jobs that you're meant to do, as in when it's clean, you take it out. I'm talking about when you've seen someone pack the dishwasher in such a way that you think, I cannot allow this. And then, yeah, okay, this is... Okay. There's a few of us. Excellent. There's a few of us dishwasher. Similar things. I was once in a meeting that was so boring, and it was with not just my boss, it was with my boss's boss, and the meeting was so boring and so long, I genuinely started just spinning around on my swivel chair. I'm not very good with long, boring meetings. And this one is actually bad, I've actually been in sermons where the preacher has gone on so long, and it's just... so dull. Have you ever started, like, not just looking at your watch, but I mean waiting for the preacher to look in your direction and then quite obviously be like, I've got a chicken roast to get home to. No, okay, that one is just me. So I've entitled today's talk, Confessions. I'm 2 minutes in, Annie, you know. I've entitled today's talk, Confessions of a Control Freak. As we look at this passage from Philippians, there are a couple of images of control freak that I can find. My personal favourite is that bottom right one. As long as everything is exactly the way I want it to be, I'm totally flexible. That's good. The reason why I've picked this topic for today, Confessions of a Control Freak, we're starting a new series in Philippians. And it's something that inspires me from the book. It's also something that as a control freak, as a dishwasher repacker, as a boring meeting chair spinner, is something I've had to confront over the last 6 weeks. Most of you know that I haven't been well over the last 6 weeks, and I won't bore you with the details because I'm sure many of you have heard of it. But for me, the hardest thing was not that there was a lot of things that I couldn't do, which there were. So it wasn't just the fact that I couldn't go for walks and couldn't go to work, and I found that quite difficult. The hardest thing for me is the loss of control. Yeah? Now, for many of... I'm not looking for sympathy here, because there are people who have suffered much more over the last 6 weeks than me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for me, the difficulty wasn't the sickness. The difficulty was accepting the fact that I have a lot less control over my life than perhaps I thought I did. And a lot of you know what that feels like, don't you? A lot of you know what it's like to suddenly realise, I don't know, it's the diagnosis that you weren't expecting, or it's the bill that came in when you weren't expecting it. You suddenly realise, actually, there's a lot in our life that we can't control. And so as I've read the book of Philippians over the last week, especially the first two chapters, that's what's been speaking to me, is how can I deal with this thing inside me that always wants to control everything, and how do I deal with that in the full knowledge that actually, a lot of the time, we're not in control of our lives. There's so many things that are happening around us. Even this week, many of you would have had unexpected news. And it knocks you for six because you think, oh, actually, I was less in control of what was happening. And for me, that's been the hardest bit for the last 6 weeks. The realisation that I'm not actually in charge. It's a human thing to want things to go your way. I've been thinking, so we all want our own way, I suppose. You kind of buy into the idea that if you can make everything happen the way you want it to, then you'll be happy. So we all want that promotion, or we all want to have fewer arguments in our family. You see what I mean? Like, we all kind of want this stuff. We all want, I know, our neighbour to be quieter at 3 o'clock in the morning. We all have this. But the way we respond to that, we can try and be a little bit controlling. You know when you tell that white lie to your boss in the hope that you then get the promotion? Yeah. Or you use a bit of emotional blackmail with your partner or in your family to avoid that argument. You like remind them of an argument previously that brought up so much hurt. What I'm trying to say is that if we keep trying to make the world fit how we want it to look like, we end up trying to control, we end up trying to manipulate others. Does that kind of make sense? So we tell that little white lie, we put that pressure on, we make that subtle passive-aggressive comment. What we're trying to do, we're trying to get our own way by manipulating the people around us. You know, where you're in that argument and you keep the argument going, not because you're right, but because you don't want to admit that they were right. Yeah? Okay, no, that one is just me then, that's fine. I understand. Fortunately, as I've been wrestling with this, and some of you, at least a few of you have nodded and can appreciate this tendency to want to control things, I am in good company, which leads us on to Paul, the person who wrote this book of Philippians. Now, for me, if you ever read the books of Paul, and I can highly recommend them, he makes up most of the New Testament. If you read the books of Paul, he strikes me as a classic type A control freak. If you read it, now this guy does not enjoy people disagreeing with him. In the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 15, when the church is making progress, this is before Paul has met Jesus, Paul hears that there were these Christians who believe different things to him. So instead of having a discussion with them, he goes house to house, dragging people out of their homes to have them arrested. This is a man who does not like people disagreeing with him. Even after he becomes a Christian, when he has discussions with other believers, 9 times out of 10, Paul has a massive row with them and they end up going to different sides of Europe. This is how Paul deals with people not agreeing with him. One of my favourite bits in Paul's letter to Galatians, he's talking to some people who think that circumcision should still happen. Paul's measured response to these believers who disagree with him about circumcision. Quoting from Galatians, "I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." This is not a man who deals with people disagreeing with him well. So, when we come to the book of Philippians, I can find someone I can relate to. In the person of Paul, I find someone who through his life struggles with what it means to try and to control things and learning how to deal with that. When we compare Galatians, which Paul writes early in his life, with Philippians, which he writes at the end, I love the contrast. So this is Philippians towards the end of his life. This is Paul. This is the person who's been a control freak most of his life. This is him saying, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not to his own interests, but the interests of others." I want to read that in the Message because they've got a fantastic translation. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if Jesus' love has made any difference in your life whatsoever, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything at all to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favour. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. This is Paul. This is Paul learning how to deal with the control freak inside him. And you might ask the question, how has this change happened? I think for one, Paul has spent a lot of time following Jesus. And so naturally, he's learned that trying to control other people is not a good way to live, and he learns to let go. The other thing is that when Paul writes Galatians, he's travelling around. He's a popular man. The churches like him. He's setting up churches. People are becoming Christians. So he's telling them, go emasculate yourselves if you disagree with me. When Paul's writing Philippians, he is a man who daily is being beaten and tortured by his Roman captors. This is a man who would have chains around his necks and around his wrists, waiting for his inevitable death at the hands of Nero. If there is a situation that reminds you that you are not in control, it is being put in prison and daily beaten and tortured by your Roman captors, isn't it? If anything is going to highlight to Paul, actually, Paul, you are not God, then this situation is it. Which is why I find this such a wonderful thing to read. And as I've wrestled with this idea that actually I'm not as in control of my life as I thought I was, reading Philippians has really helped. Because Paul understands that he's not in charge. Paul understands that he's not in control of everything. So, as Paul is writing this letter, suddenly things are put into perspective. Can we contrast Galatians, where, as I've said, Paul says in Galatians, you disagree with me about circumcision, emasculate yourselves. Compare that to what Annie just read in Philippians. Look, some of you are preaching Christ out of good motives. Some of you are preaching Christ out of selfish motives. And you know what? I don't care, as long as you preach Christ. Do you see the difference in attitude between Paul in Galatians when he's young and when things go, and Paul in Philippians where he's in chains? Why? Because Paul has learnt the truth that you cannot control everything. Paul has learnt the truth that the only thing you can control on a good day is yourself. That is the truth that Paul has learnt. Come Philippians. So now when he hears that people are preaching about Jesus and he doesn't actually agree with them, he doesn't care. As long as Jesus is preached. As long as Christ is preached. There's a tension we live in as Christians. Because a lot we want freedom, but we're told that the way to get freedom is to lose your life. That's what Jesus says. If you want to gain life, you've got to be willing to lose it. Martin Luther puts it this way, which I think is fantastic. A Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. Because we have freedom. And then he says this, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Because like me, if you struggle with control, you find that you cannot control everything and you get more and more and more frustrated. You try and control the next conversation, you get more frustrated because they don't know what you want. You try and control the scenarios and then you get more frustrated because things don't go your way. And you get more and more angry. And Martin Luther says, freedom is found in letting go. Freedom is found in releasing. Freedom is found in putting other people ahead of yourself. To lay yourself down and say, actually, I don't need to have the last word in this argument. Actually, I don't need to win. Actually, I don't need to get that promotion because the only person I can control on a good day is myself. And I don't need to control you. However, that's not to say that Paul shirks all responsibility for his life. And this is the second part of that sentence, which has really inspired me again over the last 6 weeks. You realise that you cannot control the world. You realise that you cannot control other people. You realise that you'll end up manipulating others to get them to do what you want. However, you can still control yourself. I just want to remind you where we're at. This is Paul. He has got chains around his neck and around his wrists. Every day he is getting beaten up and tortured by his Roman captors. Bearing in mind he is being captured by the Romans, who would say things like, Caesar is Lord. They would say things that Nero is the Almighty God. They would say things like, grace and peace to you in the name of Caesar. That's the kind of language that the people around him would use. But I want to read to you again the opening of Philippians in Philippians chapter 1. This says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not just a nice little thing that he starts his letter to. Oh, dear so-and-so, grace and peace to you in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man who is in chains by the Romans saying, you can take everything you want from me. You can take away my friends, you can take away my church, you can take away my freedom. But I will still say grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man who knows that although he cannot control anything outside of himself, he will still control his character. This is a man who in chains still says, this will turn out for my deliverance. I know this looks bad, me being in prison, but I promise you, even in here, the jailers are turning to Christ because of my witness. Paul gets that he cannot control the situation. He can't. He's a prisoner. He gets that you cannot control the people around you. You end up being manipulative. But you can control your character. You can say, you can take everything you want from me, but I will still declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Caesar is not. That's why I love the book of Philippians. This is a man who gets that he can't control everything, but he can control himself. And no matter what they take away from him, he still holds true to what he believes. He still holds true to Jesus. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you when you're tempted to just tell that little white lie to your boss or to your friend or to your family? What does it mean for us when we're tempted to try and control others? I'm working on it. I sometimes don't repack the dishwasher. I'm working on it. I'm better in meetings now. I don't spin on my chair. I'm working on it. When there are church services that I'm partly responsible for that aren't going the way I want them to, I try just to sit in my chair and say, God, this is your service. It's got nothing to do with me. So if this person's going to keep on talking, they can keep on talking. I pray that something that they say will speak to the people in this congregation. I stop looking at my watch so obviously to try and get them to shut up. I'm a work in progress. Like Paul, it's taken me a while to learn that I can't control things. For me, it took me getting sick and not being able to do stuff and having to rely on charity and the people around me for everything because I couldn't walk up the stairs. Like it took me to get that we can't control everything. But I would encourage you that you still can control yourself. And no matter what it is that you're going through, things far more difficult than my last 6 months, that news that is so hard to take, you can still control your response. I pray that you would know that this week. And the word of encouragement as I read Philippians. Imagine if you'd have told Paul, imagine you could go back in time and you could have a conversation with Paul, who is bound up, neck and wrists, getting beaten daily by the Romans, the most powerful military empire the world had ever seen. Imagine if you'd have gone to Paul and said, guess who is still around in 2,000 years, Christians or the Roman Empire? Imagine if you'd have had that conversation with him. Said, Paul, guess when you say the Lord Jesus Christ and everyone around you is saying the Lord Emperor Nero, guess which one of those phrases is still being used 2,000 years later? How many people would have said Roman Empire? 99%. How many people would have said everyone's going to still be saying Caesar is Lord? Because Caesar's always Lord. The Roman Empire is the most powerful man. Imagine if you had a conversation with Paul and said that. If you go to the Colosseum where the Christians are being killed, there is a cross on it today. If you walk down the street, you will meet plenty of people who will say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And no one is saying Nero is Lord. You will meet plenty of people who that message of Jesus rings true today. And the Roman Empire we already find in the history books. Because actually, if we understand that we cannot control others by manipulation, by shouting louder, by winning that argument, if we understand that we can only control ourselves, and as we demonstrate love and forgiveness like Paul did even in prison, then that is what changes the world. That is the kingdom that grew like a mustard seed. And that is why we still talk about Jesus today. That's why we still follow him today. That's why today we still say Jesus is Lord. Because you can't control anything else. But you can control yourself. And you can stay true to that message.